Amen. So we're in 2 Chronicles 24. And if you would look at verse number 1, 2 Chronicles 24, verse 1, the Bible says, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. Tonight I want to preach about the life of Joash. And there's things about the life of Joash that we can learn from. There are things that are both good and that are both bad. But here in verse number 1, the Bible says of Joash that he was 7 years old when he began to reign. Here we have a child, a 7-year-old child that just became the king. And you have to ask yourself, you know, how does a 7-year-old become the king? So what I want to do before we get into chapter 24 is I want to go back and see how a 7-year-old became king and how Joash came from his father was an evil man, the Bible says. And his grandmother was a wicked woman, the Bible says. So keep your place there and go to 2 Chronicles 22, if you would. 2 Chronicles 22. So how did a 7-year-old become king? And in 2 Chronicles 22, we're going to see a little bit about the family of Joash. 2 Chronicles 22, look at verse number 2. The Bible says, 42 years old was Ahaziah. Now, Ahaziah was the father of Joash. It says, 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Adaliah, the daughter of Omri. So we see about Joash, we see his father, who was who? Ahaziah. And then we see his grandmother, Ataliah. In verse 3, it says, he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, speaking of his father, for his mother was his counselor to do, notice, wickedly. Verse 4, wherefore he, talking about Joash's father, Ahaziah, did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. So Joash, off the bat, he starts off his life on the wrong foot. His father is an evil man, the Bible says. His grandmother is a wicked woman. But we see that when Joash was only a baby, when he was barely 1 year old, we see that his father actually dies. Look at verse number 8, 2 Chronicles 22, verse 8. The Bible says, and it came to pass that when Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab and found the princes of Judah and the sons of the brethren of Ahaziah that ministered to Ahaziah, he slew them. Verse 9, and he sought Ahaziah, and they caught him, for he was hid in Samaria, and brought him to Jehu. And when they had slain him, they buried him. Because, said they, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So the house of Ahaziah had no power to keep still the kingdom. So in verse 9, we see that Jehu is executing judgment, and he kills Joash's father. And at this point, Joash is a baby. Joash is barely 1 year old, and he lost his father. Look at verse number 10, and let's see what happens. But when Ataliah, who is that? That's his grandmother. It says, the mother of Ahaziah saw that her son was dead. She arose and noticed and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. So here, Joash's grandmother decides, because the king is now dead, that she's going to kill all of her grandchildren so that she can reign, so that she can be the queen. And one of those grandchildren is Joash. Look at verse number 11. It says, but Jehoshabeath, notice, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain. So here we see Jehoshabeath. Who is she? It says in verse 11 that she is, let's keep reading verse 11. It says, so Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, notice, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Ataliah so that she slew him not. So Jehoshabeath, who is the wife of Jehoiada the priest, who we read about in chapter 24, she decides, and they decide, to take Joash and to hide him from his grandmother. Why? Because she's going out killing everyone, and Joash is only a baby. He's barely 1 year old, and so they take him and they hide him to save his life. And look at verse number 12. It says, and he, talking about Joash, was with them, hid in the house of God 6 years, and Ataliah reigned over the land. So now Joash is being raised by Jehoiada the priest and his wife Jehoshabeath, and they're both hid where? In the house of God. And at this point, Joash is only a baby. He's only 1 year old, and we see that his grandmother actually reigns. And you can tell that she killed all his brothers because nobody else would have reigned. And so she killed all of Joash's brothers. Her dad, his dad is now dead. And then go to the next chapter, chapter 23. 2 Chronicles 23, look at verse number 1. It says, and in the 7th year, Jehoiada strengthened himself. So Jehoiada the priest, who's actually taking care of Joash, who's raising Joash, it says he strengthened himself. And here we see Jehoiada going to make a change. He's going to bring revival to the land. And this is just an example of where revival begins. You know, revival is something that you choose to do in your own life. where you in your heart decide, you know what, I'm going to make a change for the Lord. I'm going to strengthen myself and make a difference. You know, it's not this fairy tale that we keep hearing about that preachers want to preach about. We need revival. Revival starts when you decide to make a difference, right? When you strengthen yourself, when you choose to do what's right, that's where revival begins. Keep reading verse number one. It says, and took the captain of hundreds, Azariah the son of Jerohim, and Ishmael the son of Jehohanan, and Azariah the son of Obed, and Messiah the son of Adiah, and Elishaphat the son of Zichri, into covenant with him. And they went about in Judah and gathered the Levites out of all the cities of Judah and the chief of the fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. And all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. Now, when it says that they made a covenant with the king, it's talking about with Joash, who was at this point, who is 7 years old. It says, and he said unto them, behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord hath said of the sons of David. So here we see that Jehoiada the priest decides to take Joash to uncover him and say, this is the rightful king. This is the one that should be ruling and reigning in the house of David. And as the story goes on, where they actually kill his grandmother, and we get into chapter 24. So in chapter 24, in verse number 1 again, it says that Joash now is 7 years old. So Joash was put in a position of the king by Jehoiada the priest, the one who raised him. He now puts him in a position of being the king. So that's how this 7-year-old became a king. It says, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Zibiah of Beersheba. And notice verse 2, it says, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. So now we see this king Joash, who's 7 years old. It says that Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So there's things that God looked down at Joash and said, you know what, Joash, what this is, what you're doing now, this is right. And there's some success, there's some good things that Joash did that you and I can look at as examples of things that we should be doing, things that God would look down upon us and say, you know what you're doing is right. And so tonight I want to look at the success and the failures of Joash. And we can learn from both. We can learn from his success, and we can learn from also from his failures. His first success, you know, something that God looked down upon Joash and said, this is right what you did, is found in verse number 4. It says, and it came to pass after this that Joash, notice, was minded to repair the house of the Lord. So my first point about Joash is Joash strengthened that which was lacking. Joash strengthened that which was lacking. You see, Joash looked at the house of the Lord. He looked at the house of God, and he saw that something was lacking. And Joash, in his own decision, he was minded to go and repair the house of God, to set in order the things that were lacking, the things that were wanting. Look at verse number 7. It says, for the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. So Joash looked at the house of God and saw that it was broken up, that it needed fixing, that things needed to get set in order, and Joash was minded. And this is something that God looked down upon. He said, this is right when you're minded to strengthen the things that are lacking. And look at verse number 13. Because Joash decided to do this, look at verse 13. It says, so the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God, notice, in his state and strengthened it. So it says, because Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord, it said that he set the house of God in his state. What does that mean, in its state? It means the way it should be. You know, when you set something in its state, it means you're putting it in the way that God wants you to put it and strengthen it. Keep your place here, but go to Titus chapter 1, if you would. Titus chapter number 1. So when God looked down upon Joash, when he was minded to repair that which was lacking, to strengthen the things that were wanting, God saw that that was right. God was well pleased with that. And you know what? God calls you and I to strengthen the things that are lacking. You see, it takes a grown Christian, a leader, somebody who's grown in the Lord, to look at things and realize that, you know, things need to get done, and be the one to set those things in order. You see, Joash, by his own accord, was minded to repair the house of the Lord. You're in Titus chapter 1, look at verse number 5. Titus 1:5, it says, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest know to set in order the things that are wanting. Here we have the Apostle Paul telling Titus that to set in order things that were wanting. Who was Titus? Titus was going to be a pastor. He's the one that was going to lead people. And Paul looked at Titus and said, what I need you to do is set in order things that are wanting. Why? Because a leader, a Christian leader, should look at things and see if there's something missing, if there's something lacking, then those things need to get set in order. You see, all of us should look around, whether it be in our personal life, whether it be in church or in our home, and we should have the spiritual discernment and look at the things that are lacking or the things that are wanting. And see, we see here that Titus was mature enough to look at things that were wanting, things that were missing, things that needed to get done, and set those things in order. You know, what am I talking about? For example, you know, in church, there are things that are wanting. There are things that are lacking. It needs to be minded to repair or strengthen those things that are lacking. You know what I'm talking about? You know, well, for example, you know, right now we have physical, actual work to be done next door. And, you know, thank God for men who are minded by their own accord to volunteer their talents, their work, their labor to repair things that are wanting, right? Things that are lacking. You know, praise God that, you know, this week, every day there's been different men from the church just working there, you know, by their own accord, just going in there, working hard, strengthening those things, fixing things up, using their gifts, their abilities for the Lord. And it's great when men choose to do that by their own accord. And, you know, God looks down and said, you know what, this is right. This is good. This is well-pleasing in the eyes of the Lord when you decide to strengthen those things that are lacking. And not just that, not just physical work, but when it comes to church, you ought to see that there's a want, there's a lack, there's a need of prayer in the church. You know, we should all be praying for our church. And there's many areas of our church that you should be praying for. You should be praying for the spiritual growth of our church. Right? And you should be praying for more soul winners to go out and preach the gospel. You should be praying for our church to have more of an influence in our community, in our world. You know, prayer is an area that's lacking big time in just in the world today. You know, prayer is very difficult to do, but we should all be setting in order those things. You know, we should be making the choice to go home and pray for our church and realize that prayer is something that's lacking in our church today. And you know, what else is lacking, what else is wanting in our church is, you know, just stronger Christians, you know, myself included. And one of the best ways to strengthen this church is by you strengthening yourself in the Word of God. You know, I remember Pastor Jimenez preached a sermon where he said that the best thing you can do for your pastor is to read the Bible. You know, if you choose to read the Bible by yourself, you're strengthening yourself as a Christian, which is going to help our church just get stronger. And so when you look at the things that are wanting, you got to realize that we need stronger Christians. You know, myself included, we should all be going home and strengthening ourselves in the Word of God. And you know, that's going to make us a stronger church, going to make us a stronger church, right? And when it comes to your walk with the Lord, you should all be having the spiritual discernment of our own personal walk with God. You know, we should take inventory of our lives and look at the things that are wanting in our own spiritual growth. We all have areas we need to work on, but a mature Christian will look at those areas and set in order those things that are wanting. Those things that are missing in our personal life. For example, you know, this morning, I mean, the sermon on music, you know, that's a great example that I'm sure it hit home with many of you. It hit home with me. You know, growing up, music was a big deal for many of us, right? And those are things that may be lacking or maybe wanting in your life. Those are areas that you should look at yourself, take inventory, and set those things in order. You know, repair those spots in your life or whatever it may be. You know, whether it's your reading time, whether it's your prayer, whether it's some sin in your life, you ought to have the discernment to repair those things that are wanting. You know, take an inventory of your life and repair those things. Strengthen the things that need to be strengthened in your own personal life. And when it comes to a leader in our home, you know, because here the Apostle Paul is talking to Titus, who's a leader. You know, as a man personally, you know, I have two daughters and a son. You know, as a husband and a father, it's my job as a leader to look at the spiritual growth of my family. You know, and if I see an area that's lacking in my family, whether it be, you know, my kids, you know, I need to have the spiritual discernment to be the one to see what's missing. You know, what could be lacking in my children? So you should all, you know, in your home, take inventory as men of your family, you know, of your children. You know, look at them and, you know, see what's missing. You know, we should have the spiritual discernment to see what's missing in their lives. You know, we should be able to see their attitudes, their spirit, just everything about it. We should look at our kids and set and strengthen the things that need to be strengthened. You know, set in order things that are wanting. And as leaders, you know, that's our job, especially as men in our home. We're the ones that should be looking at our family and making sure that, hey, this needs to be fixed, then, you know, we're going to fix it, right? Because I'm making the choice for that. But go back, if you would, to 2 Chronicles 24, if you would. 2 Chronicles 24. So when the Bible says that Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, it says that He was minded to repair the things that were wanting, to strengthen the things that were lacking. He was minded for the work of the Lord. And not only that, but actually, you know what? Go to 2 Kings 12. Keep your place there, but go to 2 Kings 12, if you would. But in 2 Chronicles 24 and verse 2, you're going to 2 Kings 12, and the Bible said, "And Joash did that which is right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest." In 2 Kings 12, which is a parallel chapter to 2 Chronicles 24, look at verse number 2, it says, "And Joash is the same person, Joash, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days." Where, notice, Jehoiada the priest, notice this word, instructed him. See, it says that Jehoash or Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. So what else did Joash do that was right? What else is it that God looked down and said, "You know what, Joash, what you're doing is right"? Is that Joash was willing to hearken to his spiritual leader. Joash was willing to receive instruction, receive just to hearken, to listen to him, to obey him. You see, Joash was the kind of guy that where Jehoiada said, "Hey, do this or don't do this," Joash would have done it. He would have obeyed Jehoiada the priest. And you know what? God calls you and I to hearken to our man of God, to hearken to our spiritual leader. Go back to Hebrews 13, if you would. Go to Hebrews 13. I'm sorry, Hebrews 13. You can lose your place in 2 Kings. Just be in 2 Chronicles now and go to Hebrews 13. You see, God looked down at Joash and said, "Joash, what you're doing is right." And Joash, what he did was, he was willing to be instructed. The Bible says that Jehoiada the priest instructed him. And what is it to receive instruction? It's you're telling someone what to do, right? And Joash was good at hearkening unto the commands of his spiritual leader, of Jehoiada the priest. You know, but God commands you and I to hearken to our spiritual leader. In Hebrews 13, look at verse number 7, it says, Hebrews 13, 7, it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you." Now, people don't like that term, the rule over you. But you know what? The Bible talks about authority. There is rule. There is leadership. And it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you." And then it says, who is he talking about? It says, "Who have spoken unto you the word of God." So obviously, we're talking about a pastor, a spiritual leader, somebody who preaches the word of God. It says that they have the rule over us. And people don't like that rule, that word, or that the thought of somebody ruling over them. You know, when people have a problem with authority, it's because they're just not right with the Lord. You know, there's nothing wrong with the word obedience in the Christian life. You know, the Christian life is a life of obedience. And people get real, "Oh, I'm my own man." But, you know, that's not right. You know, there is an authority structure, and God commands us to realize that there's a rule over us. It says, "Who have spoken unto you the word of God." Notice, whose faith follow. It says we're supposed to follow the example of our spiritual leader, of our man of God. It says, considering the end of their conversation. Go to verse 17 of Hebrews 13, verse 17. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you." That's another word people don't like today. People don't like that word, obey. You know, that's a word that we should all underline in our Bible. There's nothing wrong with obeying in the Christian life. That's what the Christian life is all about. It's about obeying. It's about obedience. It's about obeying the Lord. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves." Notice, "for they watch for your souls." It says we're to submit ourselves, meaning when we receive instruction by our spiritual leader, it means we're supposed to obey it. If it lines up with the word of God, then, you know, God commands you to follow that instruction. God commands you to follow what's come across. And people get really bent out of shape about this. It's not a big deal. You just do what God says. It's not like pastors telling us what to do because it's just him telling it. No, if it lines up with the word of God, then you just follow it. And, you know, praise the Lord. It says, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So whenever our spiritual leader, whenever our Jehoiada preaches the word of God and says, "Hey, you should be doing this or you shouldn't be doing that," you got to realize that God expects you to obey that. And you're not obeying the man, you're obeying the Lord. And it's not about the man, it's about God. And obedience, remembering that there's a rule over us, these aren't bad terms. These are good terms. They're Christian terms. It's in the Bible. They're good words. And if things like this bother you, then it's probably just because you're not right with the Lord. You know, you need to check yourself and realize there's nothing wrong with authority. You know, the Christian life is about authority. You know, nobody is their own man. You know, God commands us to do things, we obey the Lord, right? And so whenever anything's preached, realize that God expects you to follow it. And when God looked down at Joash, and we're going to see that Joash had a lot of failures, but when God looked down at Joash and he said, "Joash did that which was right," this is one of those things that he did was right, that he listened to Jehoiada, that if Jehoiada said something, that when he instructed him, He just followed it and obeyed it, right? And realize that in our life, just in everyday life, that there's authority everywhere. You know, at your job, there's an authority. And the Bible commands us to obey our servants according to the flesh. When you go to work, you're supposed to obey your boss. You know, wives supposed to obey your husbands. We're supposed to obey our pastor when it lines up with the word of God. We're supposed to obey God. These are good words. You know, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know, the Christian life is a life of obedience. And we should all be willing to obey our spiritual leaders, right? Go back to 2 Chronicles 24, if you would. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. You see, not only did Joash strengthen that which was lacking, he saw the house of God that was broken down, and he did something about it. He also hearkened to his spiritual leader. He was willing that when Jehoiada told him to do something, he did it. He received instruction, and he obeyed it, and he followed it. And God looked down and said, that is right. But now let's look at the failures of Joash, because Joash had a lot of failures, as we're about to find out. And the first failure we're going to look at is that Joash failed to develop a personal walk with the Lord. Joash failed to develop a personal walk with the Lord. 2 Chronicles 24, look at verse number 2 again. It says, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Notice, all the days of Jehoiada the priest. It said Joash did right all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now, it was right when Joash obeyed Jehoiada. But it says he only did right as long as Jehoiada the priest was around. See, as long as Jehoiada was around, as long as Jehoiada was telling him what to do, that's when he would do right. You see, Joash was the type of Christian that if Jehoiada wasn't around, then he's his own man. And there's people like this today. Well, if the pastor's not around, then I guess I'm not going soul winning. Or if the pastor's not around, then I guess I'm just not going to go to church. Well, if the pastor's not around, then I guess I could listen to this music. Or if the pastor's not around, I guess I could wear this. I could act like this. And this is not right. You know, we got to realize that we're not obeying or following a man. We're supposed to obey and follow the Lord. Look at verse number 15. It says, because you have to realize that one day, you know, your Jehoiada will not be around. One day, pastor will be gone. One day, that person that you fear, whenever you're around them, they're not going to be there all the time. You know, I'm not going to be around. You know, no spouse in here is going to be around. Children, your parents aren't always going to be around. So you got to develop a culture of just doing right whether or not they're around. And yet, you know, I wonder how many people would be in church if, like, Pastor Jimenez just all of a sudden left. Because, you know, if for whatever reason Pastor Jimenez left, not that he would do this or anything, but I wonder how many people would still be faithful to the house of God. And not that he would do anything like that. I'm just wondering how many people actually come to this church for the Lord instead of for a man. And we should all get to the point that we do things for God and not for men, right? In verse 15, it says, but Jehoiada, notice, waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now, after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. Look at verse 18. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. So now that Jehoiada is gone, it says in verse 15 that Jehoiada died. And in verse 18, it says that they left the house of the Lord God of his fathers. You see, you got to realize, you know, you kids, that one day your parents aren't going to be around. One day those people that you're obeying right now, you're going to church, you're going soul winning right now because maybe they're forcing you to, realize they're not always going to be around. One day our Jehoiadas will leave us. One day, you know, as a father, I'm not going to be there for my kids one day. And I'm hoping, and we should all be training our kids to one day make those decisions on their own, that our kids would want to go to church because they want to, not because mom and dad tell them to do, not because Jehoiada said, or that one day they're going to want to go soul winning, not because Jehoiada told them to, right? And you got to realize that your Jehoiada is not always going to be there. And what is it that you do when nobody's around? When your Jehoiada is not around, you know, you kids, you teens, you know, what are you doing? Are you obeying the Lord as much as you would as if Jehoiada were there? Because one day he's not going to be there. Go to Colossians chapter number 3, if you would. Colossians 3. And here we see the first failure of Joash, is that Joash failed to have a personal walk with the Lord. He was doing right. He was doing right. He looked good in front of Jehoiada. But when Jehoiada was gone, what happens? He decides to forsake the house of the Lord. In Colossians 3, look at verse number 22. Colossians 3:22, the Bible says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Here, the main context, obviously, is at your job, you know, for you men. When it says, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. But it says not with eye service as men pleasers, meaning you don't always just obey or do right when somebody's around. You know, we shouldn't be the type of Christian that somebody has to be watching over us for us to have to do right. Look at verse 23. It says, and whatsoever ye do, it says, do it heartily. Notice, as to the Lord and not unto men. You see, everything we do in life, it's not for a man. It's not for pastor. It's not for any man. It's for the Lord. It says everything we do should be done for the Lord and not unto men. Verse 24, it says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Notice, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You see, as Christians, we serve the Lord. We don't serve men, and we should realize that, you know, one day our Jehoiada may not be there. And, you know, we should remember that we're serving God. When you come to church, you don't come to church for a man. You come to church for the Lord. When you go soul winning, you don't come, go soul winning for a man. You go for the Lord. And it's funny, but it's sad that every time, you know, pastor's away, just the attendance drops, soul winning is down. And I'm sure there's some people, not everyone, obviously, but some people just think, well, pastor's not there, so I'm just not going to go. You know, that's not right. You know, who are you serving? Are you serving God or are you serving a man? It says, not with eye service as men pleasers. We don't do things to please the Lord. We do things to please God, right? And so we see that Joash, he failed to have what? He failed to have a personal walk with him. And this is a personal choice. And here's the thing. You know, Joash grew up with a godly leader. He grew up with Jehoiada. He grew up in the house of God. And so having a personal walk with God, it's not something that people can push on people. This is a choice that you have to make on your own. You know, nobody forces you to think the things that you think about, you know, to read the Bible, to pray, to walk with God. Those are personal choices that you have to make on your own. And we should all make that choice to have that personal walk with the Lord. And, you know, choose to do right when our parents aren't around, when our spiritual leader's gone. Choose to do what's right because, you know what, that's what God would have you to do, right? And we see that Joash failed to have that walk with God. As soon as Jehoiada was gone, he left church. He forsook the house of God and he served groves. He served Balaam. Go back to 2 Chronicles 24. Not only did Joash fail to have a walk with God, but number two, Joash failed because he was a respecter of persons. Joash failed because he was a respecter of persons. In verse 17, it says, now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah. Now it says, when it says the princes of Judah, the princes are the people who are well known, people who are popular, the leaders. Everybody knows who these guys are. It says, and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. So now the king is going to listen to these guys because they're well known. People know who they are. They're leaders. They have a good reputation amongst the people, right? In verse 18, it says, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Verse 19, it says, yet he, talking about God, yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. So we have two people here coming to Joash. It says that the princes and the prophets both came. The princes, people who everybody knows, people who are men of maybe renown, people who are popular, people would look up to, admire, they go to Joash and he hearkens. He gives ear. He listens to what they say. But then God sends prophets to them, and it says that they would not give ear. He's not even listening to them. And I wonder if God would have sent, obviously at this point Jehoiada was dead, but if Jehoiada were to come to Joash, you know, Joash would have listened. If it was Jehoiada speaking, all of a sudden Joash is all ears. All of a sudden Joash is hearkening. And, you know, we kind of see this culture today, unfortunately, where if it's not Pastor Jimenez, then I'm not going to listen to him. Or who's preaching tonight? Oh, is it Brother Oliver? I'm just not going to listen to him. I'm not going to give ear. Who's that guy, right? Or whoever it is. You know, whenever a man of God gets up to preach the word of God, you listen to the word of God. It's not about the man. You know, it's about the word of God. And it makes no difference who's popular. And today we see this that, well, if Pastor so-and-so is not preaching, then, you know, I'm not going to listen to that, right? They may be popular, and, you know, they are popular. Praise the Lord for it. But you know what? Whenever any man gets up to preach, whether it's me or any one of these men, you know what? That's the word of God. And there's something for you. And we shouldn't be this respecter of persons that says, well, I'm just not going to give ear because, well, what does he know? You know? But whenever the word of God is preached, you always need to give ear. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. So we see that the princes came and the prophets. The princes, people who are well known, he was willing to listen. But those who aren't known, they're just prophets, people who nobody knows about, but they're sent from God, right? They're prophets of the Lord. It says that he would not even give ear. Had it been Jehoiada coming to Joash, he would have been all ears, listening to every word he said, obeying him. Yes, sir, Jehoiada. But no, God sent these men just as much as he sent Jehoiada. 1 Thessalonians 2, look at verse number 13. It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, talking about the preaching, right? It says, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You see, whenever any man of God gets up to preach the word of God, whether it's somebody who's well-known, a prince, man, people who we look at as popular, right? Or if it's just anyone, we don't take it as the word of men. It's not like, oh, I wonder what he's going to tell me. No, what does God have for me? It's the word of God. And you should always be listening and hearkening unto the word of God. And here's the thing. God sent these prophets who are not known to the people. And Joash not listening was his demise. You know, Joash should have hearkened to these prophets. He didn't know who they were. They weren't popular. But you know what? God sent them. And this ended up being his downfall when he just wouldn't hearken to the word of God. And so don't think, well, this morning's sermon doesn't apply to me because it's only Brother Stuckey preaching. You know what? That was the word of God. And if the shoe fits, you wear it, and that's God's message for you, regardless of who's preaching. And, you know, personally, I get excited when other preachers get up to preach. I'm excited for this coming Sunday night, the men's preaching night. It's not like, oh, I'm going to hear to listen to so-and-so. No, I want to hear the word of God preached. And you know what? God's sending those men next Sunday night to preach for us. And praise the Lord. And you know what? That's God talking to you. That's not this person's opinion. No, that's God talking to you. And we should hearken and give ear regardless of who it is. Obviously, I'm not talking about like unsaved heretics. Obviously, we're talking about people who are saved, King James Bible. And we shouldn't judge preaching based on the appearance, you know? Judge not according to the appearance. We judge by the word of God. If they're preaching the word of God, you receive it with all readiness of mind, right? And what is it? That's more noble than those at Thessalonica, right? When you receive the word of God with all readiness of mind, being ready and willing to hear the word of God, regardless of who's preaching it. And if it jives with the word of God, you hearken, you obey, you take it, not because men are anything, but because God is everything, right? Go back to 2 Chronicles 24. So we see that Joash, he was a respecter of persons. If Jehoiada wasn't preaching it, then he doesn't want to hear it. If Pastor so-and-so is not preaching it, then he's not going to be there or listen to it. No, God sent those men who are not known, but he wouldn't give ear, and that was his demise. But number three, Joash failed because Joash remembered not the good. Joash failed because Joash remembered not the good. You're in 2 Chronicles 24, look at verse number 20. It says, in verse 20, it says, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. So we see now that God sends the people who are unknown, people who he doesn't know, now he sends Zechariah, who's actually the son of Jehoiada. It says, the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. Look at verse 21, and they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. It's kind of like this is the last straw for God. He's like, if you're not going to listen to my prophets, now I'm going to send the son, right? And he comes, and in verse 21, it says that they conspired against him. And at the commandment of Joash, he kills Jehoiada's son. And you ought to think about that. Jehoiada, who is the man who saved Joash, the man who saved him from literal death, from dying, who raised him, who gave him salvation, who gave him everything, who made him the king, it says that he killed his own son. And it's look at verse number 22. It says, thus Joash the king, notice, remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. And so it says that the king remembered not the kindness, the man who gave him everything, the man who saved his life, the man who raised him, the man who made him the king, who put him in that position. It says he didn't even think about that. He didn't think about the good that Jehoiada did for him, and he actually killed his own son. Go if you would to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians 1. And see, Joash failed because he remembered not the good that was done unto him. You know what? God calls you and I to remember the good, to remember the kindness that people have done unto us. Because, you know, here's the thing. Just like Joash, if it weren't for people in his life, he wouldn't be the king. If it wasn't for Jehoiada, his wife, people raising him, all those people who Jehoiada had gathered to make him the king, he wouldn't be there in that position. And you know what? You and I'm not up here because I just birthed myself, I raised myself, it's all me. No, and you're not here because you did everything on your own. People in your life, people in my life, they did good unto us. They did kindness unto us. And God calls us to remember the good, the kindness that people have done unto us. And here's the thing, people have hurt us, people have done wrong unto us, but it doesn't say that Joash remembered not the bad. No, it says he remembered not the kindness. And so you ought to remember the good that people have invested in you and your life to put you in the place that you are in now. Because you think, I'm not behind this pulpit because I did it myself. No, people have invested in me. People have invested in you. And so God wants you to remember the kindness, the good that people have done in you. 1 Thessalonians 1, look at verse number 2. It says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Verse 3, remembering without ceasing, notice, your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. It says, remembering without ceasing, notice, your work of faith and labor of love. You see, here we have Paul remembering the kindness, remembering the good. And it says, we give thanks to God always. You know, and this is something that, you know, I've struggled with, that it's hard to remember the kindness that people have done unto us. Maybe when people have done us wrong, or you get upset with someone, and I struggle with this, you know, in my family or whatever, but, you know, we should remember the kindness. And here it says that, you know, Paul was thankful. He's thankful for these people, but he's not remembering the bad. What is he remembering? He's saying, for your work of faith and labor of love. And so you ought to realize that you're where you are because people invested in you. You know, you have parents that raised you, that gave you clothes, put food on your table. I have parents that gave me those things. We should remember that good that they did for us, right? Of course there was bad, but remember the good. Remember the kindness. We have a pastor who does things for us, and when he makes a mistake, remember the kindness. Remember the good that he's done unto us. Same thing in our home, you know, with our spouse. Remember the kindness and be not bitter against them, right? Remember the good that they've done unto you. You kids, you should think about the kindness that your parents have done unto you. You should be thankful for everything that your parents do for you, that they feed you, that they clothe you, they give you a place to sleep. Those are good things to remember. And you know what? They're going to make mistakes because they're human, because they're sinners. We all make mistakes. But as kids, teens, remember the good that they do for you, because there's a lot of good that your parents do for you. And so for all of us, you know, in this church, in our homes, in our lives, at our jobs, people have done good unto us. We're not all here because we all just did it ourselves. No, people have invested in you, and you should look back and be thankful for the kindness that people have showed unto you. Go to Hebrews 6, if you go to Hebrews chapter number 6. So it says that Joash, he remembered not the kindness, and he killed the son of Jehoiada, the one who gave him everything. And God calls all of us to remember the good, to remember the kindness, the work of faith and labor of love that people have done unto us. In Hebrews 6, look at verse number 10, it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget. It says in Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous. Meaning what? Meaning this would be wrong. It would be wrong of God to forget what? Your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. The Bible says that it would be unrighteous for God to forget what? To forget the kindness that you've done for him. And so this is a godly character when you remember the good that people do to you. It said that it would be unrighteous. It would be unholy. It would be wrong for God, for him to forget the kindness. And no, praise the Lord, he doesn't forget those good things that you do. But there is something that God does forget. Go to Hebrews 8, look at verse number 12. There is something that God chooses to forget. In Hebrews 8, and look at verse 12, it says, for I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, notice, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You see, praise the Lord that God chooses not to forget the kind, but he chooses to forget our faults. God chooses to forget our sins and our iniquities. And so obviously this is something we all struggle with. People make mistakes. People do what's wrong. And here's the thing. I don't know if Jehoiada did anything wrong to him, But for whatever reason, Joash just chose not to remember the kindness. And so we like it when God does this for us, but you know, we should show the same thing to other people, where we choose to forget the sins and iniquities of others and just remember the good. You know, because it would be unrighteous of God to do that. And so when maybe our pastor makes a mistake, that you know what, just remember the good, all the good that he does for us, right? And just forgive him. Same thing in your home. You know, your spouse makes a mistake, don't hold it over the head, just forget about it. And remember the good. You know, your kids, your parents are going to fail you someday. But you know what? Remember the good that they've done unto you. And so all of us, we're not here because you did it all on yourself. We're here because somebody invested in you, somebody invested in me, and we should be thankful and remember the kindness that they've done unto us. Go back to 2 Chronicles 24. So what have we seen? We've seen the success that Joash, he did things that was right. He strengthened that which was lacking. He saw the house of God was broken down, and he set it in order. Joash did right in that he hearkened to his spiritual leadership. But Joash had failures. He failed to develop a personal walk with God. He also was a respecter of persons. And he remembered not the kindness, the good that was done unto him. And so all of us, we should all realize that these failures can cause us to fail. When we forget the good people have done it to us, when we respect people, when we fail to develop a walk with God, these things can be our downfall. We should take the good. But let's look at the death of Joash as we close. The death of Joash. Look at verse number 23. It says, and it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great distress, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of their kings. So it says that Joash, who conspired against Jehoiada's son, now God brings vengeance. And now his own people conspire against him, and they actually kill him. Showing what? Showing that God is not mocked. You know, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so we see the demise, the downfall of King Joash. And the main thing that I think that Joash failed in his life is that I think he failed to develop his own walk with God. Is that you got to realize that everything we do it for the Lord, and we don't do it for men. And so I hope you take heed to the successes, but also to the failures of Joash. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. You got to thank you for your